Adam Schefter from ESPN. He joins us. He's presented by your Front Range Mercedes-Benz dealers. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mike and Mark. How are you guys doing?
Well, we were just talking about the proposal, I guess. You tell us, how much momentum is it gaining, the idea that, forget about expanding from 16 to 18 regular season games, the biggest change could be expanding the playoff format.
Well, we've always talked about this, and I've always thought that this was as logical as anything else, as adding a seventh playoff team in each conference, making it one bye per conference instead of two, and getting an extra playoff game on wild card weekend. What is the value of that to the NFL and to TV networks? It's huge. Just think about that. Two extra playoff games? I mean, that's big money right there. Now, the bottom line is the two sides, the NFL and the NFLPA, are sitting down to do a new CBA here. And I think most people believe, we'll see if it's true, that that CBA will get done at some point in the next season. And when that CBA gets done, I don't know how it's going to work out. But I think we all would agree that a four-game preseason schedule, a five-game preseason schedule, is not going to exist in the next CBA. Whether they make it three preseason weeks, two preseason weeks, one, or none, the preseason is going to be reduced, if not eliminated. And there are other ways to generate revenue, and Roger Goodell's talked about growing the revenue pie. Well, again, adding playoff games grows the revenue pie. And I think increases interest and keeps more teams alive during the course of the season. Now, of course, I'm sure it would have its opponents as well as its proponents. There were people who would say that, okay, well, maybe there'll be a 7-9 team that sneaks in. Maybe. That could be. But I think that if you're adding an extra team, that might make it a little bit more interesting towards the end of the year.
Adam, you know, I've heard a lot of reports that for the first time in decades, if you will, that the Players Association and the NFL coming together in this collective bargaining, the collective bargaining talks, there seems to be more, less animosity and more togetherness than ever before. Is that what you're hearing? Are those the reports? And what does this mean going forward, the new CBA?
See, I would say this. I was incredibly surprised when I began making calls on this because there were people talking about, oh, the fact that a CBA could be done at some point by the season, during the season. And I'm like, come on. Because I remember 10 years ago when they were sitting down at a similar juncture with 2 years left in the CBA, and the two sides didn't dislike each other. They hated each other. It wasn't bad. It was toxic. It was awful, the tone that existed between the two sides. And what I found this time is, I don't know what changed it, but the tone is completely congenial, respectful, two sides working together. I think before, you know, the NFL went in there the last time and tried to strong-arm the NFLPA. That's my sense of things. And I think that you can go into any negotiation, particularly one that's worth billions of dollars, and you could take two different approaches. You could be the tough guy, or you could be the guy that works with the opposing side, feeding them sugar. And I think that they tried the tough guy approach last time. It didn't work. And I think this time, for whatever reason, the NFL has altered its stance and is working with the NFLPA as opposed to working against the NFLPA.
Visiting with Adam Schefter. Adam, I heard you on the other day with DMACC and Tommy Nalen and talking about you being right in the middle, breaking the Andrew Luck story, and I haven't heard you as animated and as agitated as I heard you the other day in talking about your role in all of this. And am I right in assuming that no matter how much you're on television and a star and everything, you're still a journalist at heart, and you really bristle at the idea of how you go about covering and breaking stories?
I think people have come up with their takes on this, and there have been some people who have said that I should have waited for Andrew to make his announcement. And I just want to know in what universe that's logical. I just want to know. Like, explain to me a case why that would be logical when there were more and more people who knew, when the Colts had the options of deciding when to hold the press conference, when calls were made to the organization to let them know that I was going to be reporting the story, and the calls weren't like what exactly what would I have done? Should I have done differently? I mean, you tell me.
Yeah, you know what? And just for a little insight into this, I've known you for, gosh, since 1995, Adam. We've been friends. And I have watched you sit on stories to protect people where, like, you've gotten scooped. And this is one of the reasons you're the best in the business. You don't have – and there's nobody that compares because you have that trust and that relationships with those people. Have you had
Thank
the
you.
Opportunity
– Thank you.
You do an amazing job, and that's not me blowing smoke. That's just fact.
That's very kind of you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Have you had an opportunity to speak with Andrew about the retirement?
I have not. Nope. I have not. Now, again, in fairness, I don't think I've ever spoken to Andrew Luck on the telephone ever, so I don't know why I would now. I mean,
right.
If he wanted to talk about it, I'd be happy to talk to him about it. I would guess he's probably not pleased with me, but then again, I also think he would understand what I did. But maybe he doesn't. I don't know how he feels.
He was going around telling people. It wasn't like this was a state secret. He was blabbing a lot. I mean, he didn't think this was going to get out.
Again, I haven't spoken to him to know, but it was funny because. Like I said, I called a couple of Colts people. One of them called me on Saturday night about 11:45, and he said, when I saw my phone ringing during the game, he said, I turned to my coworker and I said, Adam's got the story. And they didn't pick up. So, again, listen, I'm sorry it didn't go the way that they wanted, but as I said to D-Mac the other day, Andrew was telling people on Thursday, on Friday, the organization discussed whether to have a press conference on Friday. For whatever reason, it decided to wait till Sunday, 3:00. I don't know why it waited, but it did. It made its choice. If they had announced it Friday, they would have had all the privacy that they wanted. And, I'm sorry that it didn't work out the way that they wanted, but listen, that's the way life goes. As I said to somebody, if, John Elway announces before the postseason he's going to retire, should the other teams stop playing and let him win the Super Bowl? Because it would be really nice to have the ending the way that John wants it to go. No, like if you want to control the message, take control of it and make the announcement.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Were you surprised? I was a little surprised some of the backlash that Andrew got for
that retirement. Also shocked me. That also shocked me. And what's interesting is there are a lot of people privately, some coaches and former quarterbacks that I've spoken to, who have said that they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't walk out 2 weeks before the season. But I would say that it's his life, and he's sacrificed an awful lot. He gets to do whatever he wants. I say that everybody when it comes to retirement. If you want to retire 1 week into the season, that's your choice. Your life.
Right.
You get to do whatever you want. And nobody knows the physical and mental battles that he's faced. And so, again, everybody gets to make their own mind up.
You know, I talked about this on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. To me, it was one of the least selfish decisions you can make because you're not holding the organization hostage. You're not everybody's waiting for the savior to come back, riding in on his steed. You're like, hey, organization, man, I'm so beat up and things aren't going my way and I can't do what I once was able to do and I'm becoming more of a hindrance than I am a help and I don't want to do this to my friend Jacoby Brissett and what I'm going to do is walk away from the organization so you guys aren't waiting for me to ride back in here and we'll see what happens in a year or two from now, but right now this is the organization. You guys have to deal with it and you don't have to wait for me. That to me is an unselfish decision by a guy who really cares about his organization.
I wouldn't argue with anything you said there, Stink. I think that's right on. And again, I come back to my point on these are hugely personal matters and only Andrew knows everything that he's been through. And so he made this decision. He made the decision, got to talk about the decision when he wanted, all his decisions. And you live with that.
What is your response to this? Because it's kind of a harsh text, but I'm curious because you live in the business of breaking stories, and that's how you you build a reputation. That's how you get paid. So when somebody says, I would hope that we lived in a universe where a guy doesn't screw another guy in front of his home crowd just to break a story.
I guess I would say my concern is, again, not screwing. I would come back to what I said to you before, Mike. He told teammates, the owner knew, the GM knew, the head coach knew. Teammates began being told, select teammates on Thursday. There were more new on Friday. There were other people in the organization that discussed whether they should have the press conference on Friday. If the information happens to flow to me, why do I have to wait? Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. And by the way, people are like, oh, I couldn't have waited 35 minutes until the game was over. First of all, I'm at a surprise 75th birthday. I had no idea where the game is at. I don't care whether it's the first quarter or 2 minutes. I don't care. Number two, my job is to report that. Number three, I called people there. If it was important enough, they could have called me back and said, hey, can you wait? I can't tell you how many stories I've done that on in my entire career. Nobody did. I gave them those calls. Nobody responded. What do you want me to do? And so they weren't going to announce it after the game. The plan was to announce it at 3 p.m. on Sunday. And so then after the game, he tells people, and at that point in time, I'm sure that somebody's going to go on Twitter or Instagram and congratulate Andrew on a great run. The other thing is, if people are calling me, how do I know they're not calling somebody else that's also a reporter? Do I know that? And so if somebody else reports that, and then my employers call me and say, hey, what happened on that significant Andrew Lawrence? Like, did you even know about it? Yeah, I did, but I wanted to wait for Andrew to make sure that he was good with that.
It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. I mean, you got a job to do. And I think that's really kind of, and I think more and more that conversation comes up in the world we live in is that, look, people look at it and they don't realize you do have a job and your job is to get the story out there.
And I'm sorry my job interfered with his plans. I'm sorry. Right. Like, again, but I come back to this. It's my job. And he had a decision to make. That's what they decided. Sunday, 3 p.m. I wasn't involved in those conversations.
Hey, here's what I'll tell you, Adam, and I want to thank you for breaking the story because I was in the second quarter watching a game between the Rams and the Broncos where they didn't play any of the players that were actually going to make the team. So it gave me something to talk about. I was like, yeah, Adam, way to go.
Hey, wait, man, you know what? Listen, it's a sad story. You got a 29-year-old guy entering the prime of his career. Yeah. Who decides to walk away, and it's disappointing for the Colts, for the city of Indianapolis, for the NFL, for football fans. It's a sad story, so I don't take any joy in that. But when we're talking about whether or not to report it, to me, any discussion, it's nonsensical. It's nonsensical. Like, I was shocked it became a topic.
Agreed. Hey, Adam, listen, you're the best. Keep doing what you do. We really appreciate you, and we'll talk to you. By the way, your book is out in paperback now. I just got it, so thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. They sent me about 10 books yesterday in paperback. It was the first time I saw it, so thank you very much, Nick. I appreciate you noticing and paying attention to that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much,
Adam. Thanks,
Adam. I appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week.
Adam Schefter, presented by your Front Range Mercedes-Benz dealers. And